If you have a Bible, could you turn to Romans 12? Romans 12. And I'm going to read from three passages. We're going to read from Romans 12, first of all. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. Then we're going to go to Ephesians 4. And this, as I mentioned before, is the third message in the series that's being called Christian Essentials. The first two messages were on the Holy Spirit. This message is about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. So that's the topic we're going to be looking at this morning. By the way, I listened to Dan's message and Tom's message, and they were both excellent messages. Really enjoyed them, and I'm sure that they were a blessing to you, and they were a blessing to me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. And of course, Paul is the writer, and the Holy Spirit of God has inspired Paul as he writes this, is directing him. And he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." And then Paul goes on and he lists a number of gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, he mentions teaching, exhorting, and on it goes, and we won't read all of that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. And here again, Paul is the writer, and he says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." That's a very significant statement there. Every one of us has been given a gift of some sort, or more than one gift, but it is not for ourselves. It is for the profit of all. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit," and on it goes. And there's the number of gifts that are listed there. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. We're going to see the same principle brought out in this verse as what I just highlighted in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So again, every follower of Jesus Christ, everyone that knows Christ as Savior, that's born again, each one of us, Paul says, has been given some grace or enabling from God, some gift from Him by the Holy Spirit to function in the body of Christ. Just drop down to verse 11. Verse 11, "He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And again, this is not a complete list. It is a sampling as Paul puts this out here. And then he says this in verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying," or the building up, "of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect," or a mature, or a complete man, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love," verse 15, "may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying or the building up of itself in love. Let's just commit our time again to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would speak to all of us this morning, Lord, that there would be something that would challenge us, encourage us, and we just thank you for your word, the truth of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who desires to fill us, who desires to use us. We thank you that you have given each of us a gift of some sort, a grace, an enabling, an equipping, so that we can function in the body of Christ and do what it is that you want us to do in the church. And so I just ask, God, that you would guide my words and thoughts and give me the strength and help that I need now. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned earlier, I really enjoyed the messages that Dan and Tom gave. And I just want to mention, too, that this topic of spiritual gifts, God willing, in the fall, of course, we don't know what's going to happen for sure in the fall, but the plan is in the fall to do a more complete study of spiritual gifts and go more into depth with it. And obviously, in a half an hour message, I just can't go and do every spiritual gift and what it is and what it means. And so, God willing, we'll be doing that in the fall. But this is more of a just an introduction to it. Some of you would know a lot about spiritual gifts. You've studied it before. What I'm going to say is probably not new to you at all. For some of you, this may be something that you've never really even thought about, and it may be completely new to you. I don't know. But just very quickly, four basic things about spiritual gifts. What are they? They are, the best way to define it is a divine ability or enabling that we receive from God through the Holy Spirit. And that ability is given to us so that we can do some work for God in the body of Christ, some enabling that he gives to us. The Greek word for that is charisma. And so that we get our word charismatic from, but the Greek word charisma is the word that is used to in the New Testament to define or to say what a spiritual gift is. So that's what they are, some enabling that God gives to us. Secondly, when were they given? The day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and Dan did an amazing job of describing the day of Pentecost and what took place there. That would be when the spiritual gifts first were imparted to the church of Jesus Christ in a general way. We saw some pretty incredible things happen there in Acts 2. And God was establishing his church and the gifts were poured out and given at that time in a general way. Third thing, when do we receive our spiritual gifts? That, what I mean by that is each of us as individuals, if you know Christ as Savior, there's some gift or enabling that God has given you to serve in the body of Christ. I believe we receive that, and I can't definitively prove this, but I believe that we receive that the moment that we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. That when the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, along with that life that is given to us, and again, our brothers did a great job of describing that, that literally when we're born again, that new life of God in the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells us, and it is a whole new life that we have in the Spirit. And I believe when that happens and the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, along with that is some enabling, a gift that God gives us, or gifts, could be more than one, in order to serve him. God gives us in order to serve him in the body of Christ. And the fourth thing, just in a general way on this, is that there is a difference between spiritual gifts and what we would refer to as talents or skills or abilities. People in the world have natural talents, abilities to do things, skills. We could go through examples, but we won't take the time to do that. That is a different thing than a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is something that God gives us through the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, all of those things can be and should be used for the Lord. So our spiritual gifts we use in serving him. Some of you have a talent to do certain things, perhaps musically or artistically or whatever. That can be used for the Lord. Skills, there are some of you that are great builders. Mark just mentioned our brother who's a craftsman at, I think it's flooring that our brother does. Forgive me if I got that wrong. Those are skills that can be, ultimately we use them to maybe earn our livelihood, but they can be used for the Lord. And so everything that God gives to us, the whole thing of our life, whatever it is that we have, can be used for him. It's all for him, and it's all for his glory. Now, I'm going to throw up a PowerPoint. It's going to take a second just for me to get this up here. And I'm not going to use it for the whole message, but I just want to use it for part of the message. And I'm going to, there we go. So what I want to do is just list the spiritual gifts. And I'm just going to go through them really quickly. Again, some of you will know these, some of you may not. And in the fall, we will go into them in more detail. If you look at all the spiritual gifts in the Word of God, and there are four passages, primarily three, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4 mentions a few as well. Those are where we find the spiritual gifts for the body of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ. If you took them all, and depending on how you break them down, some would say there's 19, some say 20, some say 21 spiritual gifts. We won't get into the weeds on that right now. We'll leave that for another time. But if you took them all and you broke them into categories, you would find these five categories of spiritual gifts. Now, some of you may not have PowerPoint, so I'm just going to read through this very quickly. First category, we're going to call serving gifts. The second category is seeing gifts. This will make more sense in a moment. The third category, I'll call supervising gifts. The fourth one, speaking gifts. And the fifth one we'll refer to as sign gifts. So those are five categories of spiritual gifts. On the bottom here, if you can see the screen, if you can't, I put an F, and that stands for what I'm going to call foundational gifts. Some of the spiritual gifts, I believe, were for the foundation of the church, the founding of the church, the beginning of the church. And there are some gifts that may not be active as they were in the early church. They were active for the time of the early church. They had a function to play then. They were important then. Moving forward, they are not essential anymore in the life of the church. That does not mean that God can't use or do any of those spiritual gifts if he chooses to do that. We have to be careful about putting God in a box and saying, well, that happened then. It can never happen now. God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. But in a general way, I believe that there are certain gifts that served their purpose at the time of the early church that are not functioning today. Now, let me just, or not functioning regularly today. So let's talk about the serving gifts. I'll just list them. Serving gifts, serving the needs of people. I think that's pretty straightforward. Ministry literally is a spiritual gift, service, having an ability to serve or a desire to serve. Giving is a spiritual gift. Mercy is a spiritual gift. Helps is a spiritual gift. I'm tempted to go through and define each of them, but if I do that, I'm going to take all of my time doing that. I was thinking, though, of our brother, forgive me, I forget the brother's name that Mark was talking with at the beginning, how he does many things kind of behind the scenes at RCF. And one of the things I want to emphasize is that when we think of spiritual gifts, we tend to, not saying maybe you specifically, but we tend to think of those public gifts that everyone sees, like the speaker or the evangelist or whatever. There are so many spiritual gifts. And many of them, in fact, most of them are behind the scenes. Like Paul talks about the body and the parts of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. And he talks about the hidden parts, in a sense, being more important than the parts that we see. And that's true of our physical bodies as well, right? And so we have to understand that there are a lot of gifts that may not stand out. In fact, how would I know, you know, even could I identify who has some of these gifts that we've got here, like the gifts of mercy and helps, etc. Okay, so those are the serving gifts. Seeing gifts, and I would define that as, I'm making a really simple definition here, special spiritual insight. We have a gift of knowledge, whether that's foundational or whether it's current, you know, is debatable, and we don't need to argue about that. Exhortation or encouragement. Thank God for encouragers. I was just thinking about a brother this morning who has an incredible gift of encouragement and the blessing that he has been to me. Faith is a spiritual gift listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Discernment, another one. Wisdom is another one. And so these would all be categorized as seeing gifts. Third one, or third category, there we go, supervising gifts. And I would define the supervising gifts as overseeing God's people. So you have apostle, which was clearly a foundational gift, and we could look at verses to show that, but we won't do that today. We don't have time. You've got apostle, you've got leader or ruler, depending on the translation. You have pastor, the gift of a pastor. You have administrator, someone who administrates or governs in local church. These are all distinct words in the Greek, and they bring it some aspect of a supervisory role in the body of Christ, in the church. Then fourthly, we have the speaking gifts. And again, these are sometimes the ones that get highlighted as being the gifts, but there are many other spiritual gifts besides these ones. Prophecy is one that, again, some see as foundational, some see today as current. We won't argue about that. Evangelist, I think we all know what that is, or what an evangelist is. Teacher, that one's pretty straightforward. Speaking, question whether that's a specific spiritual gift listed there in 1 Peter 4, or whether it's just a general statement about these gifts. And again, we don't need to discuss that one anymore. And then finally, the fifth category of gifts, the sign gifts. These gifts I would see as being primarily foundational gifts that were for the establishing of the early church. Now, that's not to say that God can't do any of these things today. We pray for healing because we believe that God can heal. And so we know that the Lord can do that. But I think maybe that's a different thing than where we had the apostles walking through the streets, literally laying their hands on people and people getting healed immediately and in the presence of many witnesses. So I make that distinction that these sign gifts were, I think, primarily for the founding of the church. They were a public demonstration of God's power. And so you had a gift of healing. We had gifts of miracles that are mentioned. We had the gift of tongues that had a very specific purpose of spreading the gospel during that time. And then along with tongues came the interpretation of tongues. And so all of these would be different gifts that are listed in those three passages that I mentioned earlier. And I'm just going to go back to my screen and we're going to drop that PowerPoint for now. Okay, so what I would like to do is just have you go to Romans chapter 12. And I want to just emphasize four things with respect to thinking about spiritual gifts, how we need to think about spiritual gifts. So go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Four ways of thinking with respect to spiritual gifts. And this is very practical and it's very challenging. And again, depending on where you're at in terms of your understanding of spiritual gifts, this may make sense to you in terms of this is a gift that I have and this I need to keep in mind. Some of you may have no idea what your spiritual gifts are. You've never even really thought about it, or it's all new to you, or you're not sure. That's okay. So wherever you are at on that spectrum, whether you have a really clear understanding of where your spiritual gifts are, I know what they are, or whether you're over here and it's like, I have no idea what my gifts are, these four things apply to all of us. And they apply beyond spiritual gifts. So there's something here for, I trust, every one of us this morning. And the first thing is this, that we need to think humbly. We need to think humbly. Verse 3, if you go to verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, the idea there of thinking highly about ourselves, I think we all get that. You know, if someone thinks highly of themselves, they are in some way putting themselves on a pedestal. I mean, the whole metaphor of thinking highly means that, right? I'm up here and others are down here. And Paul's making it very clear here that no, none of us needs to think that way. None of us should think that way. It is the idea of esteeming oneself over much or having too high of an opinion of oneself. Now, it is spoken, what he says here, that principle, and this principle, as I said, applies in all areas of our Christian walk, right? To walk humbly with God, to think humbly about ourselves, not to think of ourselves more highly. It applies to all areas of our Christian life, but it is spoken here in the context of spiritual gifts. And I think one of the reasons that Paul does that, and the Spirit of God directs Paul to do that and to warn us when we get into this whole thing about spiritual gifts, is that unfortunately, sometimes these kinds of things can follow spiritual gifts. Envy can be a problem. Well, that person has that gift and I want that gift, and along with envy, jealousy. Another one can be competition. Believe it or not, sometimes Christians can almost be competing with each other in terms of ministry, whatever type of ministry that is. That can enter into spiritual gifts. It can lead to division. It can lead to selfishness and a focus on me and my gift and my ministry or whatever it is. There is a danger of pride entering into this whole area. When we start getting into spiritual gifts, pride can raise its ugly head, as it can in all areas of our Christian life. If we were to go to the book of 1 Corinthians and we were to read through that book, we would find that that was a church that struggled a lot in a lot of areas, a lot of big issues, but one of them was this pride and competition around the whole topic of spiritual gifts. It's one of the reasons why Paul takes a lot of time to talk about spiritual gifts and the functioning of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. But his concern is more the heart of the people. And where we need to begin when we think about spiritual gifts is we need to understand that they are gifts that God has given to us. It is a work of God's grace in our lives, in his mercy, in giving us this gift or enabling whatever it is, and the role that he has for you and I to play in the body of Christ. It's a work of his grace for us. Just like salvation is a work of his grace, praise God, that none of us merits salvation. We can't earn salvation. We can't work for it. We don't deserve it more than anyone else. We all stand on the same level before God as sinners before a holy and a righteous God. And Jesus Christ has paid for our sin on the cross. He died for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And we are justified by faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our merit that saves us, right? It's the work of Christ, and it's all his work. And so salvation is a gift that God gives to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look at spiritual gifts the same way. And if someone has a certain spiritual gift and another person doesn't, or some people have more gifting than others, we have to understand this is all a work of God's grace in our lives as we work and function in the body of Christ. There really ought to be no pride in that at all. There's no room for pride in that. But unfortunately, the enemy can get in and he can create pride in our lives. I think there's two ways that this can happen, specifically and practically. One is that we can just start thinking a lot about ourselves, thinking more about ourselves than we ought to in terms of our gift or our ministry or whatever. And we see, unfortunately, sometimes in the history of the church recently and in the past where that can become an issue for some followers of Christ. I think the second area that this applies is that we should be content with the spiritual gifting that God has given to us so that we're not all going to be evangelists. We're not all going to be people that have the gift of giving or whatever gift it might be that you think, well, I wish I had that gift. I mean, I wish God had given me that gift. At the end of the day, we need to think humbly and think, not be thinking of ourselves and be focused on ourselves, not thinking more highly than we ought to think, but be willing to trust God and thank him for whatever gift it is that he has given to us. When I think about this, I can't help thinking about Christmas over the years, whether it was when I was a kid, and you know, maybe you guys never had this problem in your house Christmas Day, but you know, the gifts were all there, right? And I had three other siblings and myself, and they would open their gifts. And unfortunately, there were some years that I looked at my brother's gifts that he got for Christmas, and I thought, man, I wish I would have got that. And sometimes it went the other way. And then when we had our own kids, we saw at times that some of those gifts were opened up Christmas morning, and some of them wanted the gifts that the other ones had. Most of the time they were content, thank God. But you know, that kind of thinking, that's exactly what we're thinking about, to think humbly. God has given me a gift. It is a work of his grace, and I accept that from him, and I'm thankful for it, whatever it is. I'm thankful for the gifts that he's given to others in the body of Christ. So that's the first one, think humbly. Here's the second one, think soberly. It's right in the same verse, right after what I just talked about. He says, but to, verse 3, Romans 12, verse 3, middle of the verse, but to think soberly. I realize your translations might be different. I'm reading out of the New King James, but here it says, think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, I want to just pull some things out of this idea here of thinking soberly. The word soberly there, it can be defined as a moderate estimate of oneself. A moderate estimate of oneself. If I could put it this way, a balanced estimate of oneself. So here's two extremes that we can go to when we think about ourselves. Number one, we can think too highly of ourselves. I just talked about that, right? And when we think too highly of ourselves, we become proud, or we're operating out of pride, and that is not good. It's wrong, and for a lot of reasons, and we all understand that, and we've talked about that. But there's another side to this coin. When Paul says here, the Spirit of God says, think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The other problem is that I can think too lowly of myself in this way. And that I can get into a mindset that would say, well, I have nothing to contribute to the body of Christ. Zero, nothing. I can't do anything well. I don't have any spiritual gifts. And when we operate with that mindset as followers of Jesus Christ, we are in a sense saying, well, God, you know, you've dropped me right out of the picture here, and there's nothing that I can do. And in that sense, we are thinking too lowly, if you understand what I'm meaning here. I'm not talking about becoming proud, but I'm talking about thinking soberly, moderately, in a balanced way to say, okay, God has given me some ability, some enabling to contribute to the work of the church and the body of Christ and the believers. That idea that we all have received a measure of faith, right? There is, and that word measure means some limited portion. In other words, God has given me some enabling. He has given you some enabling. He's given each of us a measure. And so I think what Paul is saying here, don't think too highly of yourself. Be careful about that, but think soberly. In other words, there is some ability that God has given to you. And I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, if you've ever thought to yourself, well, there's really nothing I can do. I'm going to look at all these other people and they've got these gifts. You know, so-and-so can do that and so-and-so can do that, and I really can't do anything for the Lord. That just isn't true. God has enabled you, and he's given you some ability to contribute to the body of Christ. We could read, and we don't go on, well, if you go down to verse 6, we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, that it's the same Spirit that works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. When I read some of those passages earlier, I emphasized a couple of times verses that tell us that each one of us has been given some gift or ability from the Lord to serve him in the body of Christ. And so I want to just emphasize that with you this morning. God has given you some ability. You may not know what it is. You may have no idea what it is. You may not have ever even really thought about that. What is my spiritual gift? Some of you may know what your spiritual gifts are. Some of you may be in a thing, well, I think maybe my spiritual gift is this, but I don't know, or gifts or whatever. And at the end of the day, I just want to encourage you with this. There's some ability that God has given to you. And you just give yourself to the Lord, and you allow him to bring that out of your life and into your life, and seek his will in that. What is it, Lord, that you've equipped me to do and you have enabled me to do? One of the things that I want to emphasize as well is that, you know, spiritual gifts is not just what you see Sunday morning at a church gathering. And I think maybe we're living in a time where we're living in the reality that we, because we can't do a lot of our normal functions that we would do at church meetings, and we're doing it online, which is great. But the reality is the church is so much more than just what happens Sunday morning. That there is a whole life of living body life, body of Christ life, that is lived outside of the church building, outside of the services that happen on a regular basis. And so we need to broaden our understanding of that. And God has given you some enabling, each one of us, to contribute to that big picture body of Christ. So number one, think humbly. Number two, think soberly. Number three, think otherly. Okay? Think otherly. But listen to these words again. For as we have many members in one body, right? We get that metaphor. We got a physical body. It's got all these parts. That's mentioned in Romans 12. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. That word function that is used in that verse means a repeated practice or a thing to be done or a work to do. Okay? So here's the challenge again I want to put out to you this morning. God has given you some part to play in the body of Christ. There is a function, something that he wants you to be doing on a regular basis to contribute to the overall health of the body. And it's learning to think, submitted to Christ in my life, yielded to the Holy Spirit of God in my life, and thinking otherly, thinking about others. That this spiritual gifting thing is not so much about me. And well, I get to do this and I get to... The spiritual gifting, the spiritual enabling that God is giving me is so that I can bless others in the body of Christ. And by extension, some of those things reach out into the world and the community around us, and they extend beyond the local church. And so we need to think otherly. Again, this applies in all areas of our Christian walk. But clearly, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I have to have this mindset that I am there. I am in the body of Christ. I am in the church, not for me. First of all, I'm there for him, for Christ, right? Secondly, I'm there for everyone else, for others. This is a mindset that is so important in our church fellowship. You know, the old illustration, I'm sure you've heard it before, cruise ship Christianity. You know, cruise ship church. What do I mean by cruise ship church? What I mean is the idea that, you know, in that group, 20% of the people are serving and 80% of the people are the passengers that complain about the service. Well, hopefully you don't do that, right? I mean, I haven't been at RCF. I don't know whether you are complaining about the service and, you know, the kind of thing, well, the elders aren't doing this and so-and-so is not doing this and the Sunday school people aren't doing that. And we go all the list of things that they should be doing. That is a really, how can I say this kindly? Let me just put it right out there. That is a really bad attitude. It's a very selfish attitude, is it not? And I understand that there are things that we need to examine and correct, and I get that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't say if there's something that we think is not right or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's to come into the body of Christ in the church with this mindset. I'm here for Christ, and I'm here for others. I'm not here for myself. And I'm not saying we don't get blessed when we come together, but if we're coming with the idea that it's for me and it's about me, you are going to be disappointed. Every church that you walk into will disappoint you somewhere along the line. Well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that and I didn't like this and I didn't like that. That is not a God-honoring attitude to have. So very quickly, think otherly. You each have a job to do in the body of Christ. You have a job to do. You have a function. You have a part to play. And here's another thing. We are each, every one of us, important to the health of the body. See, when you're not doing your part in the body of Christ, the whole body suffers. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Just imagine if one day your liver, and maybe some of you have gone through this literally, physically, but just imagine one day your liver says, well, I'm tired. I'm tired of working for the lungs and I'm tired of working for the heart and the brain. I'm just going to check out and I'm going to quit doing what I do because I'm tired of doing it all. You know what's going to happen to our bodies, right? If one of our organs just decides to quit. And every one of you is a part of that body of Christ. And the overall health of the body will only be healthy when everyone is contributing and functioning in the way that God has called you to function in your part of the body of Christ. And the other thing along with this, and I've emphasized it, let me say it one more time. We have a responsibility to God and to each other in the body of Christ, in the church. And that's what spiritual gifts is about. Brothers and sisters, you are needed. You are needed in the body of Christ. And let me say this, you are important. You are important. Your role, your function, your gift is important. It is essential to the overall health of the body. So I want to encourage you, seek the Lord in terms of finding out what your spiritual gifts are. And do whatever opportunities you get to serve, get involved. And as you get involved and you serve, eventually the Lord may direct you to a specific thing that is what he has gifted you and equipped you to do. And have a heart. Here's the most important thing. Have a heart that is willing to serve, that is thinking otherly. One last thing. I'm going to end with this. Think wholly. Think wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-E-L-Y. Wholly. Ephesians 4:16. I want to end with this verse. I love this verse, Ephesians 4:16. There's so much packed into it. Speaking about the body of Christ, he says that Christ is the head, verse 15, verse 16, Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What an awesome verse, eh? The New Living Translation says that this way, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You are part of a whole, and it is a beautiful thing. And as the Lord has given you an ability, some part to play, and the body of Christ, the spiritual gifting goes along with that. I just want to encourage you to get involved. Get involved. Don't just be a passenger on the cruise ship, so to speak, in your local church, but get plugged in, get serving in some way. And I want to leave with this challenge this morning. What is your part in the body of Christ? What is your part? And are you doing your share? Are you doing your share? Because it's only when every part does its share that the body and the church is going to grow and be healthy and strong as it ought to be. I'm just going to close in prayer quickly. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. We are not deserving of that, Lord, and yet you have saved us so incredibly through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just give you thanks for him this morning, for our Savior. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who you have brought into you. You have saved us through. You have brought us into a new birth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Christ living in us. And Father, you have also given us abilities, gifts to serve you and to function for you in the body of Christ. And I just pray that you would encourage your people this morning to get involved, to be willing to serve, willing to share that part that they can contribute to the health of the local church and the body of Christ. So I just pray for your blessing on your word, your encouragement for your people, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.